We're doing Mishlei. We're up to what's called the 8th chapter, the 32nd pasuk. Now, children, listen to me, and praised is the one who watches my paths. It's not simple to watch the paths of the Torah. And earlier in the chapter, the Torah was describing its importance and how it is the way of life, and Hashem cherishes the Torah. And now the Torah says, now sons, listen to me, and praised is the one who watches over my paths. And the truth is that maintaining a lifestyle of Torah, maintaining the way of Torah, the paths of Torah, requires vigilance. It's hard to get on the path, and it's easy to fall off the path, even though there's a lot of beautiful things along the path of the Torah, but we all know that there are a lot of things seducing a person off the path. And so it requires vigilance. Ashrei derachai yishmoru. Praised is he who watches my paths, says the Torah. Yes?
What about sometimes we want to follow the Torah, but some rabbinical explanations is something we don't agree with? What's going on there? Explanation, you know, how to do it, but we don't agree with it.
So then,
we're doing then. We have to force ourselves to follow what the rabbi said in order to show that we follow the Torah?
Well, that deserves a longer discussion about the Torah being divided into Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebalpeh. And we have to understand that there are areas where the rabbinic tradition or the rabbinic interpretation is part and parcel with the Torah. There's no other legitimate understanding of the Torah. There are areas where there's room for multiple levels of interpretation. There are areas where it's a question of what your teachers say, meaning there are differing opinions. A lot of it, you know, this is a general thing when you say what the rabbis say. It depends on which rabbis, what question, which generation. In general, our approach is that when the Torah was given, it was given the written law together with the oral law. And the oral law includes in it a tradition of how to interpret the Torah. And that tradition is obligating. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Shimu Musar v'chachamu ve'al tifra'u. Shimu Musar. The Torah says, Shimu Musar. Listen to the guidance, even though it's not always so pleasant. It's trying to keep a person on the proper path. Shim'u musar v'chachamu. And once a person has accepted the first stage of musar, the accepting that he's supposed to restrain himself, contain himself, be a God-fearing person, that's step number one. From there you move on to step number two of v'chachamu, to become smart. And then, step number three is al tifrau, that a person doesn't undo everything. Meaning, there are different ways in which a person can grow. Torah is not like any other form of knowledge. You want to study physics, so no one's going to check what type of human being you are. Go study physics. You want to study astronomy, you want to study math, you want to study computers. You buy a book, you study, what you know, what you don't know, but it has nothing to do with what type of person you are. The Torah is not that way. The Torah tells us you want to learn Torah, you have to first be a moral person. Before you can attain the wisdom of the Torah, being that Torah is all-encompassing, Torah is a way of life, it's not just the theoretical knowledge, it's life itself. So if you want to approach the wisdom of Torah, step number one is Shimu Musar. A person has to first accept being a moral person and containing his desires. And that's not easy. The desires are ever present. And to contain them and strive for wisdom requires a great effort on behalf of the person. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, Shimu Musar v'chachamu. You have to know that these are two steps and you can't skip the first. First, you have to contain yourself. You have to be a moral person. You have to behave in a way that reflects being a God-fearing person, to the best that you know. Then you can advance v'chachamu, to wisen up and understand more of the Torah. And then v'al tifrau, and if you built yourself up that way, then the wisdom won't get undone. Meaning, if a person does not build himself up that way, then you could have a person who knows the Torah, but he is his own undoing, because at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, he doesn't have the stamina to hold, to live up to what he's learned. Ve'al tifrau, and if you build yourself this way, where you know you have to work on being a God-fearing person, on being a moral person, and every time you can advance in your wisdom only in accordance with how God-fearing you are, so then your wisdom will last. It won't unravel. It won't be undone. So this is a tough one. This is a tough one, especially here in yeshiva. A guy walks in, he wants to learn, and it's a catch-22. You can't learn to be a moral person without knowing some Torah. You can't know Torah without being a moral person.
I want to make an observation. I just find it interesting how wisdom and keeping yourself, containing yourself, they kind of go hand in hand. You said, like, if you know, your wisdom, to paraphrase what you said, your wisdom won't unravel as long as you contain yourself. And I just find that the parallels, I guess, and also like how they tie together. I mean, tie together in a sense, like one, you know, if you focus on one too much, the other one just gonna disappear.
Well, you need both. It's like a step by step. You can't advance too much in the wisdom of the Torah if you haven't worked to be a moral person. You can't advance too much in morality if you don't know enough Torah. So you advance in each one by one. But you do need the Musar. It is a prerequisite to Torah and to be a moral person. But on the other hand, we also say that the light of the Torah can help a person return. The light of the Torah can help a person. It's therapeutic. That's why it's a catch-22. But we have to know that the basis is the musal. The morality has to be the basis of the wisdom. And you grow from there. Sometimes you use the wisdom as a tool to attain morality. But at the end of the day, the morality is step number one. Yeah.
Okay. And how could we identify moral person? For example, let's say the most everyday example would be about women, let's say. How a man can be called a moral person? Is he a moral person if he stays away from women which are trying to be attractive? Or a moral person is the guy that takes the woman and do what the Muslims do, make her like a curtain? Who is both of them is immoral? The one that withstand watching a woman which is attractive too much, or the one that takes the woman and makes her like a clone?
I think that we have to learn Torah and see what the Torah has to tell us about
that. Well, it doesn't say exactly, because it says that the women, the married women, should cover their hair. But this is something I think that it's not a great problem at all. I mean, women can be attractive in many different ways rather than the hair.
Okay.
So I can understand the answer.
That's because true. That's what I said. You have to learn.
It's different that if I ask a Jew from the Eastern countries, for example, an Iraqi Jew and a Persian Jew, she will tell me that the moral person is the guy that doesn't go next to women, generally. If I talk to a Western Jew, he will tell me the one that is with attractive women, but withstands not to...
Let's learn the Torah and see what the Torah says. You're right that if you go to people who are expressing what they think is moral, you might end up with many different conclusions.
Exactly, that's what
I said. Okay, so let's see what the Torah has to say. As we learn, we'll see if we still have questions. There is an answer, but not one that I could explain in the short time we have now.
So no, that's what I'm saying. That's
I'm saying as we learn, we'll encompass that too.
Anyway,
what?
We're talking about morality, in fact.
Right. Ashrei Adam Shomeyali. Shlomo HaMelech says, praised is the person who listens to me. And whenever we encounter the word Ashrei, there are multiple interpretations to the word Ashrei. We are accustomed to saying Ashrei is praised is the person. Whereas Rashi says in the beginning of Tehillim, and the Targum repeatedly says, what's good for a man. That Ashrei means this is what's good for him. Ashrei Adam Shomeali, praised is the person who listens to me. The idea is who listens to the ways of the Torah. Lishkod al daltotai yom yom lishmo mezuzot petachai. Now, in order for a person to listen to the ways of the Torah, he must be consistent in his learning Torah. And this is something which you guys can really impact here in Israel. When you go to Chutz La'aretz, you'll see that the in thing in many communities is that a person who is a working person is also a Torah person. And here in Israel, it's something that requires work. You go out to all kinds of places in the country and you have people who wear yarmulkes and they're God-fearing people and they mean to do well and they don't learn a word all week. And that's not right. You guys have to take what you see in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, they have a more correct model in this sense. In Chutz La'aretz, you have many people who work all day and then at night they'll go to their Daf Yomi Shir. And at night they'll go to learn and they'll open a Sefer and they'll open their art scroll. And although they have what to learn from the Jews in Israel in other fronts, but on this front, you guys should take what you learned out in Chutz La'aretz. And Shlomo HaMelech says, you want to know what's good for a man? How can he listen to me, to the words of the Torah? Lishkod al daltotai yom yom. That if he's consistent, that he comes to my door, so to speak, comes to learn Torah daily. You can't know Torah from coming to the rabbi's sermon once a week. Doesn't work. You know, today I'm a rabbi. I try to pack that sermon. I had a scary thing a short time ago. One of the people came to me and said, you should know my whole Torah all week is your sermon. So he was complimenting, and I felt like 2 cents. Boy, what a responsibility. If that's his whole Torah all week, how can I pack the whole Torah into one sermon? I can't. Okay, but Shlomo HaMelech says, you want to grow, you want to maintain the way of the Torah, so then you have to be consistent. There has to be daily learning. Lishkod al daltotai yom yom. The person who is swift to come to my doors on a daily basis. Lishmo mezuzot pitachai. And he's like the guard at the entrance to the door, so to speak, because he's there. And the word lishmo has multiple meanings in Hebrew. The word lishmo could mean to watch, and the word lishmo could mean to wait in patience. You're waiting for something. Lishmo mezuzot pitachai can mean he's living in anticipation of my doors. I had the greatest lesson when I came here to learn. I guess it was about 15 years ago. I was on my way to the airport, and where we lived, there were no buses, there's no train. The only way to get there was a taxi, or if someone's going to drive you, if you have someone to drive you. So we call the taxi driver, and I'm headed to Yeshiva in Israel. Okay, I'm very excited. And the driver is sitting in the driveway waiting for me with the Gemara. And every time we'd come to a traffic light, his head was back in the Gemara. And I looked at him and I said, wow. So sometimes lishmo mezuzot pitachai could mean to wait in anticipation, lishmo, to constantly be waiting for the entrance of the Beis Medrash to come back. You have people who wake up in the morning, they say Birchas HaTorah, and you ask yourself, what Torah am I going to learn today? What am I saying Birchas HaTorah for? Then you have people who say Birchas HaTorah, they have to go out to work, but they, even at work, they're thinking, when am I going to get that break? I know people who finish Shas Mishnayos every year in their lunch break. In their lunch break, they have a chavrusa. This is the fourth or fifth time that they're finishing Shas Mishnayos, because in their lunch break, they work very hard. The person I'm thinking of used to get up, he has a different job now, but he used to get up at 4:30 in the morning to travel out to Tel Aviv, did something in computers, he'd get back late at night, he'd review what he did during the day in Mishnayos. He couldn't learn Gemara, couldn't do Daf Yomi, couldn't do Tanakh, but he could do Mishnayos, so he plugged away at his Mishnayos, finished Shas Mishnayos, I don't know how many times already, and he's a fine Talmud Chacham, you could talk to him about anywhere in Shas, and he has what to say. He lived his life, he's living his life, lishmor, in anticipation of, when am I going to have that time? And part of it is the attitude. One thing is to have consistency, to have learning every day. Another thing is that attitude of, when am I going to get there again? And that's something which I tell the guys in the gear department here too. There's a false sense of accomplishment that you get when you do giyul. Because it's a tremendous thing that a person does giyul, don't get me wrong. But when I first came to the Mahon, I kept asking Rav Bigun, why don't we give guys tests? Let them know where they're holding. Rav Bigun said a few reasons. He said, number one, because you never finish learning. So you can't give a guy a grade there, you graduated, it's over. And sometimes when a person does gear, so he feels like, I graduated, I did it, now I know everything. I often, in my classes, I'll often ask, you guys have any questions? And when no one says anything, I say, great, I have many questions. So now I could ask you all my questions, because you guys have no questions, right? And the truth is that when a person finishes gear, so it's legitimate that a person feels accomplishment. He did it, he accomplished something amazing. At the same time, there's a whole Torah to learn out there. So there has to be that attitude of, lishmo mezuzot tachai, I can't wait to get back to learn more. Whereas when a person finishes gear, his first feeling is, I can't wait to get out of here. I finished already. I'm done. I don't have to be here. So sometimes I say, stay a half a year. Sometimes I say, go to another yeshiva and learn. If you feel like you got to get out of here, so go somewhere else. But you got to keep learning. That's the key to maintaining a Torah lifestyle. There is no other way. Right, right. Wow, that's a beautiful analogy. It's so true. Wow. It is.
Sorry to hear that.
On both fronts. It's very true. It's very true. Yeah. Suddenly the mascara's off. Suddenly. Okay, yeah, Judaism is still beautiful. It is, but it's like marriage. You have to grow into it. Ah, you're talking about marriage. Ah, Ivanti. Anyone who's come to my classes knows that. Okay.
Well,
that marriage requires work. It's not that bed of roses that you imagine it's going to be. It's got a lot of the thorns of the roses. And when you learn how to deal with the roses, then it becomes beautiful. But first, you got to prick yourself many times. So, there's no other way. There's no other way. No one else did it any other way. Anyone that tells you otherwise, either they're living parallel lives and not together, or they're not sharing with you the truth. But there is no other way. You can't build it any other way.
I'm an idealist.
What?
I'm an idealist, obviously.
I'm also an idealist. This is the ideal. This is the way Hashem created us. There's nothing wrong with it. Ki motzei matza chayim vayafek ratzon me Adonai. Shlomo HaMelech says, speaking in the name of the Torah, ki motzei, because he who finds me finds life. And that's point number one. Very often you ask a person, where do you have life? So he'll tell you, open a cold can of Coke on a hot day. And that's living it up. That's life. Sit back with Bermuda shorts, a Cuban cigar, cocktail in the sun. Oh, that's life. Shlomo HaMelech says, no. I've never smoked a Cuban cigar. Ki motzei, you want to know when is matzah chaim, when do you find life? You want to know what's called living it up? That's when you find the way of the Torah. And it's not simple. Meaning, the Torah gives us a balanced life. But there is no one formula that works for everyone. There are a lot of paths. You'll notice that the Torah discusses my paths in the multiple sense. Ashrei derachai yishmoru, we saw in Pasuk Lamed Beis. Praised are those who watch my paths. The path that fits me doesn't fit you. The path that fits you doesn't fit him. It takes time. It takes a quest. It takes investment till a person figures out his path in life. And Shlomo HaMelech says, but when you found your path in the way of Torah, so then you should know you found life. That's living it up. Vayafik atzon me'ashem. And the second huge advantage of finding the path of the Torah is that a person also knows that he's also found the goodwill of Hashem. Doesn't mean everything's going to be sweet, but at least he knows he's going down the right path. And that's a tremendous thing. I want to go back to a point we discussed in the parasha yesterday. And I want to tell you a story that I don't remember if we've discussed recently, but I said it this morning in the Hesder Yeshiva, and the guys pointed out to me a different angle to the story. I always say it to one end, and they suddenly brought up a totally different message in the story. So Yael is madly in love with Avner. And Yael is determined that she will marry Avner. But her father opposes the marriage. And her father tries to dissuade her and tries to convince her, and she won't hear any other way. And her father finally takes her to the king. And the king says, you know, this isn't the zoo over here. You don't just go with whoever you want. You have a father, you have a family, you have a society. You could choose any young man that's around here. Don't go off with Avner from way out there. It has nothing to do with us. You're not marrying Avner. And the king asks her, does this guy lie? Do you like this guy? And she says, no. What about that guy and your neighbor and the other guy? No, everyone he offers. No, I want Avner. So the king says, look, I'm going to give you some time to think about it because you're not going to marry Avner. And he puts her in jail. And he puts her for 7 years in jail. She spends 7 years in jail just because she wants to marry Avner. And she spends those 7 years writing 400 poems about how much she loves Avner. And at the end of the 7 years, the king brings her in front of him and says, listen here, lady, what's going to be? And Yael says, I'm going to marry Avner. And the king says, no, you're not. You're not going to marry Avner. And I'm going to put you in solitary confinement. And he locks her up until she'll give in. And after 5 years in solitary confinement, could you guys imagine that? 5 years? I don't know how a person stays sane for 5 years. In a dark chamber, all alone, she's called out, and she says, no, I still want to marry Avner. And, oh, that's the question all the guys in the Hesder Yeshiva asked. They said, where's Avner during all of this? Now, after 12 years, you have to ask yourself, where has he been, Mr. Avner? And let's go one step forward. The king tells her, we're going to line up the firing squad. And I'm going to count till 10. And you have a choice to rescind on your demands and your insistence you're marrying Avner, or they're going to kill you. 10, 9, 8, Yael. 7, 6, 5, Yael. No, I'm marrying Avner. 4, 3, Yael, lift their spears, get their horses ready to charge. 3, well, in those days that was the firing squad. 2, Yael, this is your last chance. No, I'm marrying Avner. 1, charge. They start charging. Yael is standing. And after years, Avner hasn't said a word. Suddenly he comes charging in on his horse, throws his shield before her, knocks down all the soldiers, and runs away. He saved their life. But he left. And he leaves, yelling behind them, saying, come after me, I'm going out. And he tells her where he's going. The king sees that this isn't going to work. He lets her go. And she starts her journey after Avner. She comes out to the place he told her he'd meet her. And he's nowhere. He leaves her messages, but he doesn't come. And so the big question is, where is Avner? Well, our story is a paraphrase of the story of Avram Avinu and Hashem. Avram is Yael, Hashem is Avner. His father tells him, you're not going with Hashem, come be a pagan. And Avraham says, no. And Nimrod the king tells him, bow to any of the idols around here. Don't go bring me some foreign god. And Avraham insists, no. And Nimrod says, I'm going to put you in prison till you give in. And 7 years Avraham spends in prison writing 400 chapters of Jewish philosophy, why he believes in monotheism. But where's Malachi's question? Where's Avner? Where's their bone shalom? He doesn't shine on Avraham and say, Avraham, I'm with you. And then 5 years in solitary confinement. It says in the Medrash, Avraham Avinu spent 5 years in a dungeon all alone. They'd only send him a little bit of food. So we don't have them. The poems were the 400 chapters he wrote about monotheism. We don't have them. The Medrash refers to them, but we don't have them. And it's only in the last minute after 12 years of suffering that they're about to throw him, and they do throw him into the furnace. And until he lands there, Hashem doesn't show up. It's like Avner showing up at the last minute. The firing squad is there, and Nimrod warns him and says, we're going to throw you in. You feel that heat? We're throwing you in there. And Hashem doesn't say a word. He's standing on the sidelines, quiet. Shlomo HaMelech says, Vayafek Ratzon Mehashem. He who goes in the way of the Torah knows that he has the goodwill from Hashem. Now, what does that mean? That doesn't mean that now everything's going to play itself out smoothly. You didn't have anyone bigger than Avraham Avinu who was Vayafek Ratzon Mehashem. He had Hashem's goodwill. That doesn't mean things went smoothly for him. But that's a tremendous gift, to be able to live life with the knowledge that I am fulfilling the will of Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari writes that one of the great challenges that the Kutim have, the Shomronim have, the Karaim have, all those people who don't accept the oral law, they have a problem. Because they have to keep questioning themselves. Maybe God wants more from me. Maybe I should really burn my son in the fire for God. Maybe I should burn my house down in His honor. Maybe I should kill myself in His honor. Who knows? They always have to question themselves. Motzi Matzah Chaim, you found the Torah, says Shlomo HaMelech, you found life. Vayafek Ratzon Mehashem, you know what Hashem wants. You don't have to keep guessing. Maybe I should be doing more. That's a tremendous comfort. It's a tremendous serenity that a person can have in his life when he knows Vayafek Ratzon Mehashem. Now that doesn't mean that a person will see things work out for them. It could be that life will be difficult. Avraham Avinu didn't have it easy, but he had that knowledge, I'm doing what's right. And that's a knowledge that you can't get when your service of Hashem stems from your own mind. Because if you're limited to your own thoughts, then you have to keep asking yourself, maybe I missed something. Maybe there's more to it. If you're going in the way that Hashem gave, so then I did mine. I did what I was told.
Maybe then you ask why he gave this way.
Avraham Avinu also asked why.
Yeah, he asked why you gave him the son of the baby.
Right, but he maintained the lifestyle.
So that's a question. Because Rambam says that the Yeshudim question Hashem. But at the same time, Avraham asks why. Why you give me a son and you want me to sacrifice him? Who going to inherit it, what I gained? So do we have the right
slowly, class? Slowly. So we'll discuss that later.
I'm always a step ahead.
Pesuk Lamed Vav. V'chotei chomes nafsho kol mesanai ahavu mavet v'chotei. Says Shlomo HaMelech, the one who sins against me, he thinks he's harming me. He isn't. Chomes nafsho, he's hurting himself. Kol misanaya avumavet, those that hate me, they really love death. In other words, they're hurting themselves, they're not hurting me. And this is where we left off last time. Chochmot baneta veitaha, chatzeva amudeha, shiva. Shlomo HaMelech begins an extremely long parable. Malachi, I'm sorry, but my experience shows that that's how umbrellas get ruined. So that's my umbrella, if you could just put it down there. Sorry. Chochmot baneta veita. Shlomo HaMelech says, wisdom has built its home. Wisdom has built its home. And here, there are different interpretations what Shlomo HaMelech is about to talk about. It's going to be an extensive parable, and there are three interpretations. One is, it's talking about the Torah. That's the wisdom. Two is, it's talking about the world, the wisdom with which Hashem created the world. And three is, it's talking about the multiple wisdoms of the world. The question here is, Chochmot, is it a noun? Is it wisdom itself? Or is it the multiple wisdoms of the world? Or is it the wisdom in which Hashem created the world? And the seven foundations, the seven pillars of the world, what are they? Either they are the 7 days of creation, or they are the seven books of the Torah. We all know the Torah is divided into seven books. Tavecha, tivcha, masecha, yenaha. No one bats an eyelash. I say seven books, you know what I mean, right? The book of Bamidbar is three. The book of Bamidbar, in Parshas Noso, we have Vayhi Binsoa Aharon, which has a nun before it and a nun after it, and in between in Balos, I'm sorry. And that's a book unto itself, right? Those two verses. And that's how we rule the halacha, that the Torah is really divided into seven books. Tosfa says that the reason we call it a chumash comes from the word chamesh. So then Tosfa's questions, wait a second, I thought there were seven. Are there seven or are there five? Okay. So at any rate, according to this understanding, it's seven. The seven pillars of the world are the seven books of the Chumash. Tavecha tivcha, masecha yena, arecha shulchana. So the great wisdom has prepared its meat, it has prepared its wine, and it has set its table. So this is the continuation of the parable. And, okay. It sends out its lads and it calls out. It calls out al gapei merome karet, on the wings of the top of the city, meaning at the rooftops, at the heights of the city. So wisdom calls out and says, mifeti yasureina chasar lev ameralo. Who is the fool? Come here, I'll educate you. Who lacks a heart? Come and I'll tell you. Lechu lachmu, lechu lachmu velachmi, ushtu beyayin masachti. Come eat my bread, come drink the wine I've prepared. Meaning, the Torah comes and says, if you have no understanding, so come to me, and I'll give you understanding. I'll teach you. What will I teach you? Either I'll teach you the wisdom of the Torah, so then it's the 7 days, the Torah. Even if it's the 7 days of creation, so then still there's this demand, so to speak, of humanity, come and educate yourself. Creation, so to speak, beckons on the human, come become a better person, a smarter person, and come to the Torah, come, I have food for you. Izvu fitayim vichyu v'ishru b'derech bina. You fools, leave the way of foolishness. Come and go in the way of understanding. So that's number one. Shlomo HaMelech says, there is a calling in the world, a calling to the fools to come and get educated. Okay. This really touches on a much bigger question. Very often, we can ask ourselves, I was fortunate enough, so I learned. I was fortunate enough, I made it to Machon Meir. The next guy over, what's it his fault? His parents didn't teach him. He never stumbled on emeir.com or .org or whatever. He never came to 123torah.com. What's it his fault? He doesn't know. Shlomo HaMelech tells us there's a built-in feature in this world, which is the attraction of Torah to people. There is this calling that, built into the world, there's this calling of come, there's a better way to life. And this calling is really repeated in the book of the Kuzari. That's the beginning of the book. That's the recurring dream. That's what we might call the conscience. There is an internal drive that's built into every person, and it's up to the person if he's going to listen to it or not. We all have a choice. But this is a recurring theme you'll see in multiple places. We believe that we all have an internal compass. There's that Jiminy Cricket in every one of us. The conscience. You guys know Jiminy Cricket, yeah? Pinocchio? Yeah? What? Pinocchio. Jiminy Cricket is his conscience dancing outside. That little, what is he? A cricket. Oh, Jiminy Cricket, right. Cricket, yeah. Okay. But every one of us has that calling, and it's a question if we want to tune in and listen or not. So the world says, yes, people might be foolish initially, but there is that calling. Come, I want to teach you. And it's up to us. It's a question whether we'll listen to it or not. And we all have that calling every morning. Chazal say there's a heavenly voice that comes out of Sinai every day. There's a calling in the world. And the question is, who's going to listen? Who's going to tap into it and do something with it?